Hello, welcome to another episode of BJ and the Battlecruiser. We're 7 days out from the Masters, the final major of the year, at Matt's place, Moor Park, the historic Moor Park in Rickmansworth. Really excited for it, really. We've got a great field, headlined by Matt Jones, Biff Inn, Mike Arnott, defending champion, 28-man field. Some big names playing, obviously, as just mentioned. Last major of the year, you know, last opportunity for people to write their name into history at Matt's place. It is the fourth consecutive and final time we're going to be going to Moor Park. We've had an historic four-year run, really. You know, started in 2018. Danny Slade won the first year there. 2019 was won by Joel Pope. 2020 was won by Mike Arnott, and obviously we're signing off this year. You know, it would be 4 years. We've had a great run. Obviously Matt Jones used to work there. He's now moved on to Coombe Hill, so it kind of just felt organically natural to end its run. I think 4 years, you know, don't get me wrong, it's a great venue, great course. It's done us good. It's done us really good. You know, we've had a great 4 years there, but it just felt right with Jonesy leaving to kind of say goodbye, start fresh. You know, with the Masters next year, we're heading to San Martins, which by all accounts is an immaculate, pristine course. You know, everyone that I know that's played it said how well it's maintained, and I'm looking forward to that, but that's obviously for next year. So yeah, where do I start? Final year at Matt's place. The course, you know, we're playing the high course again. We were at the end of last year thinking about playing the West course, I believe it's called. Apologies if that's wrong. But the high course is the championship course, and you know, after 3 years there, playing on that course, I love the course. It feels very, what's the word? I don't know. It's just, I think for all abilities, good golfers, shit golfers like myself, it's just, everyone has a chance there. It's not, for me, the most, you know, as a high handicapper, it's not the most intimidating golf course off the tee. I always feel like you've got quite a bit of room there, which is nice. But, you know, you look at the winners we've had. Danny Slade, Joel Pope, Mike Arnott. Always produces a good winner. Always produces quite a good leaderboard. Obviously, Biffin came close last year to completing the career Grand Slam. He came second. Jones of the year before that came second. So, it always produces a good leaderboard. Always gets good numbers. You know, 28. It's a good, solid field number. So, I'm looking forward to it. Announcing the groups tomorrow. We announced the feature groups today. Matt Jones, Mike Arnott, defending champion, Craig Martin, obviously fresh off his T2 at the Invitational at Prince's. And then George Pierce, obviously, he's building a great BGA resume at the moment. Two-time BGA Tour winner. You know, he's in the quarterfinals of the World Match Play, made the quarterfinals of the Four Ball Bettable presented by CJP Design and Build. So it's a nice four ball, you know, it's full of winners. You know, Jonesy's 5-time BJ Tour winner, 4-time major champion. You've got Mike Arnott, multiple major champion. You've got George Pierce, 2-time BJ Tour winner, who still is looking to break through on the major stage. And then obviously you've got Craig Martin, who funnily enough has won a BJ Tour event. He won the Travellers back in, was it 2019? Yeah, with George Vinson. And obviously he was one shot off a playoff at Prince's at the Invitational. So I'm happy with that feature group. It's just next Friday is going to be, you know, looking at the field, looking at Group 1. Anyone could win in there. Arnie's coming back, you know. Mike Arnott, you would think maybe he's had a quiet year, but you forget that he came second at TPC, you know, he shot 6 under there. He was unlucky not to win, you know, Edmunds Bandit Handicap, whatever you want to call it. Arnott's had a quietly solid year. I can't remember where he came at Invitational, but I know he wasn't too far out of it. You know, obviously he never sniffed winning, but Mike Arnott's dangerous. He'll be looking to finish his year with a major. I think he won 3 times on tour last year, so if he goes through this year without a win, he'll probably look at that as a bit of a failure. Matt Jones, where'd you start with him? Obviously, my hero. 5-time, like I said earlier, 5-time BJ Tour winner, 4-time major champion. He's never won the Masters. He has won the match play, the BGA match play, which was what the Masters was before we changed it in 2015. The Masters used to be a match play event, and that's what we played. Whoever won the match play, the BGA match play, won the Blazers. So Jonesy does have a red Blazer in his trophy cabinet, but he doesn't have a Masters win. So this is a great opportunity. Jonesy, obviously, is his place. Years of working at Moore Park. He has a great record at the Masters at Moore Park. I think, what's he come? Tied not. I think he's had a T9, T2, and a T5. 3 top 10s, you know. He was unlucky to win it a couple of years ago. I think he shot 3 under gross and didn't get it. But you have to be concerned with Jonesy. You know, this week, he's lost in the match play. The world match play, he lost 4-3 to Dan Roberts at Warplesden, and then obviously he lost in the 4-ball better ball presented by CJP Design and Build. I don't know where Jonesy's head's at. I don't know what his thinking is going into next week. He's the favourite, he always is, you know, especially at a course that he knows so well. But is he playing his best? I don't know. Moore Park seems to be a place that kind of, you know, he seems to find something when he goes to Moore Park. Back to his place, you know, he's obviously moved on to Pastures New now. He's at Coombe Hill. Very thrilled for Jonesy. I would love to see him win it. Obviously, he might tell you differently. He's obviously not playing his best golf at the moment, but it's Matt Jones, you know. He's the greatest to ever fucking do it. He'll find a way. Craig Martin shot the world at the Invitational, you know, T2. No one saw that coming, did they? No one saw that coming. You know, I don't think since his Travellers win, he's not really done anything, and I think Craig will put his hands up. I don't know if he was spurred on by Rangers winning their 55th league title, but he just found something different. I think for him to play that golf at Prince's, which in my opinion was a tough course, you know, it was just completely out of the blue. You know, he's earned this feature group. He's earned it. You know, T2 at the Invitational, biggest event of the year at Prince's, the most historic venue he'd ever been to. And he comes T2. He double bogeys the last to drop out, you know, to miss out on a playoff by one. He's, you know, can he get himself up for it again? You know, how much energy did it take out of him, that Invitational run? That was a hard day, you know, demanding physically, mentally. It was a demanding day. We wish him well. How's he going to handle the pressure of playing with Arnott, Jones, huge names, George Pierce? Obviously, he's friendly with George. Jonesy and Arnott, it might be different for him. You know, it's T2 at the Invitation. It took Craig to that next level. You know, he's getting in the feature groups. I'm interested to see how he handles that pressure. George Pierce is someone who I have just said is going to win a major championship now for, seems like, 3 years, and he's just not seemed to have done it. And I don't know what it is. You know, he's won the Travellers, he's won the playoffs, he's made the right, he's trending in the right direction, he's made the right steps. You know, he won the Travellers, which obviously is arguably, you know, it's the smallest event of the year. He won that. That was his first tour event. It's a good stepping stone. Then he's moved on to and won the playoffs. You know, he beat Biffin coming down the stretch. That was 2019. It's 2021 now. His handicap's come down. He's had a couple of close calls, really. You know, he could have won the Invitational in, what was it, 2018? Where he had that horrendous back nine after having a 3-stroke lead, for, you know, after nine. I like George's chances. You know, at the WBGC at Hobridge Championship, he came third. But again, that's a regular tour event. I need to see it. I need to see it now. I need to see it in the majors. I need to see it when it matters. We play three of these a year. Yeah? Three of these a year. Do it when it fucking matters. This is... We're not going to have another major now until March the 18th. March the 18th is the next major after this. That's a long fucking time. This is the last opportunity. I like George's chances though. You know, he's playing... Don't know the result, but he's playing world match play today against Harry Cripps. I think if he has a really good... Oh, I've just had... Just had an update on that. Live update as I'm doing the podcast. George Pierce is 3-up through 9. Wow. That's big. That is big. Side note, if George Pierce could see that out, he's in the semis. That is a huge confidence builder heading into Matt's place. You know, momentum is a big thing, especially in golf, especially when you're heading into the major championships, especially when you're heading back to Matt's place. Let's move on to group two. Group two, Biffin, Wicks, Charlie Pierce, Brett Falzer. However the fuck you say it. For some reason, I cannot say Brett's name, his surname. I don't know why. It's not even... It's literally Falzer. Falzer. It's F-O-U-L-S-E-R. And for the life of me, I cannot say it. I literally have to ask him. I go, Brett, it's Falzer, I think. Anyway, Biffin. Where the fuck's Biffin been? Where's he been? He had a T2 at the Masters last year. Where the fuck has he been since then? You know, there's been a lot of rumours about his lifestyle, you know, about the partying, the salacious rumours that are going around. How much is that affecting him? That work hard, play hard, burn the candle at both ends lifestyle. He seemed to be someone that thrived off it. He seemed to be someone that was what elevated him to be the champion that he was. 5-time BJ Tour winner, 4-time major champion, 3-time invitational champion, Hall of Famer. But it's got to the point now where, when was his last win? 2019 Invitational. Right, okay. It's only 2 and a bit years ago. Well, that's a long time for Biff. Long time for someone of the caliber of Biff. With the resume, with the record. He needs a win. You know, if he goes another season, that's 2 full seasons without a win. And when was the last time he was truly, you know, he was kind of in the hunt at the Masters last year, but he never really was. Arnott was always out and ahead. And when was the last time Biffin had I felt like he generally had the tournament in his hands? It was the playoffs, 2019. And fair enough, George Pierce came through that back nine and he won it. But there, Biffin had a big lead. You have to ask yourself, the lifestyle, the partying, the fucking whatever he's getting up to behind closed doors, how much is that affecting his game? How much is that affecting how he's playing? His work rate, his work ethic. I want to see the Biffin, you know, 2016-2019, that 3-year stretch. Wow. He won 3 times in 3 years. I want to see a hungry Biff back. I don't want to see this T10 Biff. Oh, you know, he's coming T8th. That's... Mate, I'd fucking chop your hand off for that. Not Tom Biffin. Need to see more. I need to see activity. I need to see work rate. Jack Wicks. Where do I start with Jack Wicks? He's an anomaly. I hate to say it. On the BJ Tour, he's been irrelevant. Since what? When did he choke? 2018 TPC. What the fuck's he done since then? He's done nothing. Hate to say it. Don't want to say it. Need to say it. Gonna say it. What the fuck's he done in 3 years? He's not gonna win. He's playing off 17. It's Matt's place. Doesn't have a good record. Particularly good record at Matt's place. Don't fancy him. But good luck. Charlie Pierce. Again, like his brother, I'm fed up of saying it. I've said it the last 2 years. He needs to step up now. You know, he's had a couple of close calls, but all this talk, you know, his handicap comes down. there's a lot of talk, there's a lot of hype, there's a lot of buzz. Does fucking nothing when it matters.
Never turns up in the majors.
Need to see activity with him as well in the majors. I need to see him up there. He's got the game. Of 15, he's got the game. And the last in the group is Brett Folzer. He had a good invitational, if I recall. Again, he's too inconsistent. He's too inconsistent. Don't know his record at Match Place off the top of my head, but you know, I don't know. I don't know with Brett. I don't know what. He's so inconsistent. You know, what are you gonna get? What hitman you're going to get on the day, really. You know, he made a run at the World Match Play last year, semi-final, was knocked out to the eventual champion. He's had a solid year so far. He had a good invitational. He'll be looking to build momentum. I expect him for, you know, top half finish. I fancy him for top half finish. Group 3, Edmonds, Danny Slade, Tony Castle and the banker Lee Cousins. Good group this. Edmonds the players champion. You know, he's had a great... He's leading... If you'd have said at the start of the year, Matt Edmonds is going to be leading, right, the Order of Merit, okay? If you said he's going to be leading the Order of Merit with one major to go, you'd say you're fucking mad. He came... He won the Players' Championship and then he came, what was it, T4 at WBGC Hobridge? Edmonds is going to be going into these events now so relaxed. He's got his major. All that shit talk that everyone used to give him. Oh, you've never won a major. Your record, all that bollocks. He's gone now. He hasn't got to deal with it. So he's going into these events relaxed, confident, energised. I think he's dangerous. He's off 19. I think he can go around there in 39 points. And in past years, that has proven to have been enough. I like Edmonds' chances. He's definitely going to have a top 10. Definitely. Danny Slade, he's kind of gone off the boil a bit. I think he played quite solid at Invitational, you know, a tough track, but you know, he's got a lot going on. Danny, obviously very successful, he's working a lot, business is doing well, it appears, from the posts online. So where's his head at? He's just had a baby. I think he's over 1 year old, Danny Boy Jr. Where's his priorities? Probably not on the golf course like they were, you know. He's probably not playing as much. That's fair play. I'd like to see Danny do well because I know how much doing well at these championships. I know how much winning the Masters back in 2018, how much it meant to him. You know, he had that red blazer on every fucking time I saw him. He was going to fucking Ireland on tour with it. That's what I want to see. I'd be happy if Danny does well. Tony Castle, again, he doesn't play enough, really. To know what Tony's going to turn up. You know, he's got a good President's Cup record, but what has he done besides that? He's not done much in the majors. Again, complete unknown. And then we've got obviously Lee Cousins. Where'd you start with Lee Cousins? You know, again, doesn't play enough, probably because he's, you know, he has 8 holidays a year. He has 8 holidays a year during a fucking global pandemic, and then he's having an extension in his garden done on his fucking mansion. Guy's a disgrace, you know. I'm all for your mates doing well, but it's the way he rubs it in. It's the way he posts on Instagram. Oh, another holiday. Oh, going to Dubai. You know, goes away for like 2 days. Who even fucking does that? Goes to Spain for 2 days, comes back. And then he's just having his garden ripped up. Who fucking does that? You know? Fair play, yeah? He's not winning. He's told me in private messages that he's been playing shit. Yeah, no fucking... No shit. It's because you've been going on holiday too much. It's because you're not focused. You know? Next group, myself, Dickie Smith, Chris Holt, Dave Casido. Well, my game... It's quite odd, actually. It's quite funny, actually. My game since last year, I didn't think it could get any worse. And it fucking has. Which is an achievement. I played well at TPC. Came 17th out of fucking 39. So it's not that bad. And I thought, okay, might have a bit of a different season. Yeah. Turned up to the invitation, had 17 points. They ain't going to get it done. Look, I'm going to Matt's place. Ollie Phipps is giving me a lift because he fucking cunted me about the invitational. Yeah, yeah, Bennett, I'll give you a lift. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then the party coach. And he fucking sacked me off. So I'm going this Friday. I'm going next Friday. I'm just going to chill out, have a couple of pints. I've got a lift. I'm just going to enjoy myself. And we'll see what happens. No pressure. Because like Edmund says, once you've won a major, you're a major champion for life. I've got my majors. I've got my two invitational wins. You can say what you fucking want. Shit era, whatever. Small fields. Bollocks. They weren't. My name's on that trophy twice. And that's why I go into these events and I think, I'm just going to have a good day. I don't care if I play badly. It is what it fucking is. Looking forward to it. Dickie Smith. Somehow he's playing on 15. I think he's been fucked over there by his old golf club, but I don't know. I've never seen Dickie play close to that. But again, he's one of those. He turns up. He's going to have a good time. And he doesn't... He's not too fussed really about challenging. He just wants to have a good day on a good course, on a good major championship layout. Chris Holt. He played at WBGC Hobridge. He's a good friend of mine. Solid guy. He's making his major debut. I think it's going to be tough on the major, you know, stage. It's different from just playing a regular tour event. He knows that, but we wish him well. And Dave Casido has probably been... He makes up the four ball. He's probably been one of the stories of the year, Dave. You know, he had a great run at the World Match Play. He came, I think it was... Was it T6 at the Invitational? He is someone that... You know, he's definitely most improved player. You know, and normally that is a title that you don't really want because it's back in the day it was kind of something, an award that you'd give the shit kid or whatever. But I mean this genuinely, fair fucking play to Dave. He shows you if you work hard enough, right, and you shag enough birds behind your ex's back, which is what he did, the shagger, that's why his name's the shagger. If you concentrate on them two things, your golf's going to improve. Shagging and golf. Every couple of days, he's doing an upload on VPAR at some Cambridge fucking pitch and putt. Bollocks. But, I mean, I was sceptical about it. I thought, no, he's chatting shit. But look what he's fucking done this year. Quarterfinals of the World Match Play, and he came tied six at the Invitational at Prince's. At fucking Prince's. I mean, they... What's he going to do at Matt's place? I'm not sure. He's had a bit of a handicap cut. And we'll see. Next group. Joe Parris. Kevin Smith. Ollie Phipps. London. Parris. Don't know where his game's at, really. Don't know where his head's at. Seems to be someone that takes his golf game maybe too seriously. Maybe puts too much pressure on him. Obviously, he stormed onto the scene back in 2016, you know, when he won the Travellers with myself. When I could actually hit a golf ball. And then he won the Masters in 2017, went to world number one. A lot of pressure on his shoulders. When you have that breakthrough year and then your handicap gets cut, it's tough. And I think Joe has high standards and I think he gets quite down on himself when he plays bad. You know, and maybe that's detriment to why, I don't know, maybe his game isn't as consistent as what it was. Because maybe he thinks too much. Maybe he puts too much thought into it. Maybe if he freewheeled it a bit, he'd feel a bit more freer. I don't know. I always want Parris to do well. He's a solid, solid guy. He's someone that takes it seriously. He wants to do well. He's a genuinely really good bloke. And I would love to see him do well at Matt's place. I wouldn't even mind if he won his second red blazer. You know, it would make a good story considering he was the first person that put the red blazer on someone at Matt's place. And the pictures, if you go back and look at the pictures, Joe Parris literally looks, he's suffering from heat stroke. He looks like he's about to pass out. So it would be good to see him in happier times at Moor Park. Kev Smith, just joined the tour. Hasn't really done much. Can't really speak too much on Kev. Solid guy. I hope he does well. I hope he's enjoyed this year on the BJ Tour. It's been good having him. Ollie Phipps, again, he's another one, like Dave, who's just worked hard at it, worked hard at it, worked hard at it, and it's just... he's just improved massively. You know, he's a member now, I think he's at Royal Ascot. I think, you know, when he first joined, he was a 28 handicap and he was shit. And he will say that to you. But now he's a 19, and I think he's a genuine 19. I played with an invitational when he came. I think it was, did he have a T3 or a T4? He's around that. He was a top four he had. And my God, he just looks so, for a high handicap, well, not high handicap, you know, 18, 19, 20, that range. I think he played a 20 at invitational. He just looked in control of his golf ball. He looked like he was playing at peace. He was unlucky not to win that, really, that invitational. You know, he had a chance with 2 holes to go, and then obviously it wasn't meant to be. But Phipsy's someone definitely to keep an eye on. You know, he's made slow. He's been quietly solid this year, you know. Last year, obviously, he made the playoffs, and this year he's contended at a major. So he's making these subtle steps, these subtle movements forward. And I don't know why, I've got a sneaky feeling he's going to do well at Mass Place, Moor Park. I think he's going to do well next Friday. Adam London makes up that group. London again. He's made the semis of the World Match Play this year, so he's having a good year. He's not playing cricket now. He's retired. So he's got more time to play golf, more time to improve. He's a natural sportsman. You know, he's obviously, his cricket pedigree and resume speaks for itself. He's a good footballer from what I remember. So he's naturally gifted. I think if he puts the time, the effort in, his handicap's going to come down quite a lot. I think he's going to do well. I've got a sneaky feeling. You know, he's riding a wave of momentum. He's in the semi-finals of the World Match Play. I think he had a solid TPC. I like his chances. I really do. Right, next group. Paul Bennett, my dad. Will Berry, the hustler. Josh Heather, Robe Sheridan. My dad, you know, he's another one. Maybe takes golf too seriously, you know. I think he's obviously been quite down with how he's played this year. I know since COVID's hit, obviously my dad was shielding for about 6 months because he was high risk. Not just with his breathing condition, but also with his weight. Obviously with a man his size gets COVID, it probably wouldn't be good news. So, you know, he was sheltering in his house, scared to leave the house. So he's obviously not, maybe that break of not being able to play for 3 months or whatever it was during lockdown has affected his game. I'd love to see my dad do well, always. I just think these courses now, he's getting older, and unfortunately, even though he's still consistent, he just doesn't hit it far enough. I think when we play courses that are a bit shorter, and you know, we have dry. I mean, to be fair, we've had a lot of dry weather, so I'm hoping Moor Park will be quite browned out and firm and fast. Because when I came tied fifth in 2018, yeah, I know that seems a million miles away now, it was fucking so firm and fast that the ball went miles. So I think if Moor Park sets up like that next Friday, people like my dad, the shorter hitters, are going to have a chance because the ball's rolling. Who else is in that group? Hustler. He's always got one eye on major season and one eye on Matt's place. He's about to be a father too, so congratulations to Hustler. We wish him the best. His golf game seems to have kind of, since his major win in 2018, he's kind of gone not the way he wanted. But again, he's a major champion for life, so it's you can't take that away from him. No matter how bad he plays now, guess what? Welcome to the club. He's in the club. He welcomed Matt into the club. We wish Hustler the best. I know he's at Ascot today. We just hope that he's not rolling straight through to Matt's place. In that group is obviously Squid, Josh Heather. He didn't play at the Invitational, which I wasn't too disappointed about. Josh has just had a son. He's actually quad-barreled named him. His name's George Bailey Terence Rooney Heather, and he has had that tattooed on his chest, full chest piece that says that. So I'm not quite sure how how that's going to affect his game, really. I don't know if he's playing much. I know he does like to when he plays at Wentworth. He does like to do a cheeky upload on the Instagram. But I don't know how much fatherhood, how much the quad barrel name, how much that can affect his chances. You know, Squid's someone that's, you know, I think he came third at TPC. But how much has he played since TPC? TPC was 3 months ago now. How much you played since then? I don't know. I think it's, you know, then that's fatherhood. You get, you focus on bringing up the son, on the quad barrel name, on the chess piece. You know, where does that leave your game? I'm not sure. Rob Sheridan turned up at Purford Lakes in a tracksuit. I said, what the fuck have you come as? I've told him he can't come like that to Matt's place because they will literally not let him in. He will literally not be allowed to play. So I'm hoping he at least wears trousers and a collared shirt. He played well, you know. Rob, again, he's a natural sportsman, really. You see how he swings a golf club and you think, how the fuck is he a 15 handicap? But you know what? He just finds a way. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing how he does. I'm looking forward to seeing if he can back up how he did it perfect. Different challenge at Moor Park, obviously. And the last group, Adam Hunt, Nick Smith, Joe Alloway, James Hunt. Adam Hunt, he's riding a wave. Just made the final of the Forward Betterball presented by CJP Design and Build. Your only choice in design and build. Adam, again, he's got a terrible... I was looking it up, right? His record at Moor Park is fucking shocking. It's so bad. I think he's... I don't want to say it, but he's definitely had... I think he might have made the top 20 once. So he's not got... It's just weird, because Moor Park's not that long. I would feel like it sets up well for him, but his record's he's not good there. But again, golf's all about momentum, and he's playing some good golf at the moment. He's got his handicap down to 18. He's made the final of the Four Ball Better Ball, presented by CJP Design and Build. So I'm interested to see how Adam does. I like it when Adam's playing well, because when he doesn't, he's pretty miserable and negative. So looking forward to seeing how he does. Nick Smith, I've obviously mentioned Nick before in the podcast this year about his private messaging, trying to get his handicap down. I'm glad to say that since I've put out that warning, he hasn't actually messaged me. I think maybe he was worried after he shot one under Prince's. I think he was worried I was going to cut his handicap. It's the first thing he said to me. He's like, you can't cut me again. But I like Nick's chances. He's had a good year. Another solid performance, and he's going to make the playoffs. So again, I respect Nick. He comes all the way from fucking, is it Wigan or some place up north, I'm not sure. So I respect that grind. I respect that commitment, that dedication. You know, he drives all that the way down, and I respect that. I hope he does well at Moor Park. I really do. Joe Alloway, moving on to Joe Alloway. Joe won the playoffs, not having anyone picked him last year. It was mad, really. I think he's dangerous off 22 or 21. I can't remember what he's put down as. He had a top five at Moor Park last year, which got him into the playoffs. So expect Joe Alloway to do well. I think he's going to have a top five. And I mean, I've said this on the pod before. I was so impressed with his composure at the playoffs. You know, he had some big names hunting him down, and his composure was just first class. I think Joe's going to do well. And then we move on to James Hunt. Obviously, James Hunt, where'd you start? He hasn't played enough this year. He had a hole-in-one, which we'd like to shout out at Fullwell earlier in the year. Congrats, James. But my main memory of James is from last year's Masters, when we were grouped together and he assaulted me because he knocked away a putt that was about an inch, and then I said he had to blob the hole, and he assaulted me physically and mentally. So I haven't got, you know, he's just had another kid, fair play to him, but my overriding emotion with James is how he tried to punch me at last year's Masters. So that is the review, that's the recap. It's going to be a great day next Friday. The weather, I checked it earlier, 22, sunny. It's not going to be a scorcher like we've had the last few years where people have been, you know, my dad being carted off the course in a medical buggy. We're not going to have that, which is nice. It's going to be interesting to see how Moorpark plays a bit of weather. I'm hoping conditions are going to be firm and fast. But of course, it's Matt's place. It's one last time, and we will honour Matt at his place. Next Friday, President is out.